Do you love it when the Spirit of God orchestrates our service? There are so many things that have been happening in my life, a lot. And the more overwhelming I become, the more overwhelmed I am of how much God absolutely, positively goes before each one of us each day. You know, I talked with our son, and he said to me, Dad, you've done something you've never done before. And I have. I have never studied so hard and had to stand on what I say I believe and give all the credit to God. It gives new meaning to God's word when it says, I go before you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I have a plan and a purpose for your life, to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and a future. When you call on me, I'll be there. I am surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That would be you guys. And those that who have gone on before us, who have taught us. These people in this book are not just stories. They're people that made it. And they were messed up, broken, fallible people. And they made it. And who does God choose to use? Me and you. Broken, fallible people. We've been going through Jesus' sermon. They say Sermon on the Mount, but it can be sermon at Christ's Little Topwalkin Church. It can be at Host. It can be anywhere. And Jesus, when you open the cover of your book, is speaking. Church, are we listening? Have you gained all the valuable information? I mean, I have studied, what, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. I can't imagine how many hours just on this sermon. And I have learned so much. And I try to give you the highlights so that you hunger and thirst for God's word. Because God's word works. You were right, dear. You'll go down a bunny trail. And I have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, above you there is no name greater or worthy of honor and glory and praise. God, you are the giver of good gifts. You are the giver and sustainer of life. And I pray that we would never take that for granted, that we would learn from those who have gone before us, from those who are going through it. And I pray that you would reveal yourself to us this morning, that you are ultimately the one who holds all things together. Teach us, Lord, to be more like you. Let us follow your example. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive to your word, your teaching. Help us to learn and put into practice what you say to us this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, love me, but love God more, okay? All right. I'm pretty sure there's no visitors here this morning, so that's exciting. Because for those of you who have been here for weeks, you know we have gone through chapter 5 of Matthew. And we get to celebrate this morning by turning the page to chapter 6. We still have chapter 7, so don't get your hopes up too high. So if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 6, I'll be reading the first 4 verses. And again, this isn't me speaking, this isn't pages in ink, this is Jesus. And he says in verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. I almost want to stop there and say, good afternoon, have a great week, because that is the truth of God's word, and then he supports it. Are you living for a reward, and are you living for an eternal reward, or just an attaboy? Good job, James. Well done. He goes on to say at verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, in other words, when Jesus says truly or verily, he says that to get our attention, because the next thing he is going to say is important to know. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. This morning, the focus of our study in the Sermon on the Mount has this little shift from Jesus speaking of the attitude of our hearts to the motivations of our actions. The verses we have looked at in chapter 5, dealt with the perception and the behavior of the people that was contrary to what God's word teaches. As we continue, Jesus offers guidelines for how to live holy and upright lives. I want to be holy and pleasing in your sight, Lord, in all that I do, no matter where I am. Because it is so easy to be me here. But when I'm not, the world is really vicious. So stay where you're always covered. You're surrounded. Back in Matthew 5, 20 through 48, Jesus confronted the misinterpretations of the law and the fact that they had lessened God's commands. These weren't suggestions. He commanded in regard to murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, living with and loving others. He set the standard. In chapter 6, 1 through 4, he confronts the wrong manner in which these people were doing their acts of righteousness, specifically in their giving, their prayer, and their fasting. The thread that's being sewn throughout this sermon follows Jesus' strong words in Matthew 5 at verse 20. We all should have it memorized by now. Jesus' point, if your righteousness doesn't surpass that of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Good day. See you next week. That's the truth of God's word. God isn't playing games here, and what he's trying to teach the people make eternal differences, now and forever. Jesus is going to teach principles on how to live generous lives that resemble God and are pleasing to him. Look at verse 2. Jesus says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Attaboy, James, is not what I want. Praise God that you walked through the fire. God did something. Credit goes to him. What stands out to me is this. This isn't a mere suggestion. Jesus did not set a standard that he wanted his followers to just consider. He didn't say, if you give, but when you give. He expects us to give. We are never more like Christ than when we give of ourselves. Do you know what it cost Jesus to give us love? His life. Are you willing to die for Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Are you willing to die to yourself? Because I'm having a hard time with that. Sometimes I win. Just take a back seat, Jesus. That's our nature. These people to whom Jesus was speaking were not guilty of withholding charity. They gave of themselves. The problem was they gave with wrong motives. If we're to please the Lord with our giving, there's a standard that must be held to. During the time we spent over the holiday with our grandchildren, we had the privilege to go to this state-of-the-art community park. I mean, it was to be beheld. It had elevated walkways built out of, well, really good building materials that led to, you know, the covered sliding boards. And there was different levels of intensity. You know, it was for the young and the old. When you walk down the pass, they had little turrets. They shingled with cedar so that you could let people by to go to somewhere else. But you could stand there and just take over the overreaching vistas to see all that this park held. I mean, it had the fireman's slide pole and a balance beam and the jungle gym things for miles. I mean, it was a course. They had conveyor belt walkways so you could, like, work on your balance. I mean, this was... They had swing sets for toddlers, for adults. There were, like, swinging kitchen chairs. Like, whew. They had what they call it? Hang on. They had playhouses. Oh, the coolest thing in them. They had pipes that went underground. You could communicate all throughout the park. It was a, hello, who's over there? And I played with my grandson and our son for quite some time with these little voice boxes. As awe-inspiring as this place was, what stood out to me was that every place you stood in this park, there was a brass plaque that had the name of the organization, the family, or the hospital's name on it. It's a great place. I had a great time. I didn't need to know who did all the work. I just enjoyed it. With regard to giving, Jesus has offered a stern warning to those who were listening. Are you listening? Listen, verse 1, Jesus begins his sermon. Be careful. The King James says, take heed. The NLT says, watch out. Why? Because you can do stuff for the right reason for the wrong, however I'm trying to say, we can do a good thing for the wrong thing. It would seem as though these people gave of their for their own benefit, for their own recognition. Look at me. There is something within our nature that has a natural bent of gaining attention or praise. The phrase, be careful, has a sense of being on guard. Like, watch, pay attention. There's a reason I'm speaking right now, not me, Jesus. I remember when I had to walk to school, I passed this house. It had flowering bushes, flowering trees. It was the greenest grass. And also this house had a sign in the front yard with red letters. It said, beware of the dog. And that sign worked. Every time I walked past that house, I was attentive. So Jesus is saying, pay attention, be careful, because you can do stuff. And it'll bite you. Seeking the praise of others instead of God was how these Pharisees and Sadducees missed the mark. Jesus calls it sin. John 12:43 tells us they loved the praise of men more than praise of the Lord. I don't care what you think. I care what he thinks. Even though I fall. My exam, whew, from my perspective, I failed miserably. And yet the men on that board said, James, you stood the ground. You didn't waver. I don't know it all. And I don't know it all. But I know God uses me. And I know tomorrow I'll fall. And I know I'm going to confess. And I know he's going to pick me up. And I'm going to go again. I love this sermon because it reveals how God keeps us. He provides everything when we have a kingdom focus. Him first. And he works that way because he knows when you're following him first, everything else falls into place. Jesus called these people hypocrites. According to the Cambridge English Dictionary, the word literally means someone who says they have a particular moral belief, but behaves in a way that shows these are not sincere. Look at me on Sunday. I go to lunch and Monday. Do I look like the world? Or do I look like Jesus? It's not so much what we do, but why we do what we do that matters. To keep our motivation in check as to whether what we're doing or how we're giving is being done to be seen by men or by the Lord, we need to look at our heart. And let me tell you why. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, above everything else, write this one down, guard your heart. Why? I love you, Lori. For everything you do flows from it. God's word is the handbook to teach principles on how to live generous lives that reflect God and are pleasing to him. Please read your Bible. No, don't read your Bible. Just pull up your phone and click and let somebody read it to you. You can drive down the road. You don't have to listen to WMMR or whatever the great radio stations from the 80s are. Listen to the guy with that cool accent. Too often we go throughout life trying to please ourselves, to guard our hearts from wrong motives in our good works. We must practice secrecy when we put them into practice. We prayed in my office this morning. There were a couple of us, and it was a little tight. It's like, well, but we're supposed to pray in secret. We can pray out here in the sanctuary, but then what do people think? Oh, look at those righteous people praying this, that. So go into your closet, and when you pray, what you do in secret, God sees. He sees everything. I'm not hurting anybody. Yes, you are. You're hurting Jesus. When you think you're not doing anything that affects anybody else, you renew your thinking. You're hurting Jesus. In verse 2, Jesus said to not announce your good deeds with trumpets. So our practice should be to do these things in secret. I love giving. And I think there's a lot of people in this house that like to give, and they like to give without being noticed. Our aim should be to practice our good works and giving in secret. And for good reason. God knows our hearts. He knows they're prone to being consumed with thoughts of approval of man instead of the Lord. So as much as possible, if it's up to us, we should practice anonymity. Anonymously give. God's knowledge of your good work should be enough. Do you really need a plaque? In verse 3, why does Jesus say, when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing? I think his point is that even though others might not know what you've done, we know. We tend to replay that giving over and over. Oh, I'm so good. When we think about how we did this, that, and the other thing for the attaboy, if we have to give ourselves an attaboy, can lead to pride. Or the other extreme, insecurity. Both have ill effects. We either puff ourselves up thinking how great we are, or we get really discouraged because we think we fail. At the end of the day, those thought processes reflect, they reveal that our motivation for serving was not about bringing honor and glory to God. To live generous lives that resemble God and will be pleasing to Him, listen, you must prepare to do your best to honor the Lord in the way you choose to help others. Don't do something if you're not going to do it joyfully. We need to leave the result to God. It's okay to say, no, I'm not going to help. And sometimes by not helping, we help the most. Oh, no, I'll do it because I want everybody to like me. I'm not sure. Do you want everybody to like you, or do you want God to say, that's my boy? Jesus encourages those listening to practice secretly. No, I'm sorry. Secrecy. In their giving, and there's a reason why. It will be rewarded by God. And His reward is way better than any plaque or any attaboy. It's like, what? This is taught throughout the Bible. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. I'll say that again because there's more. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Go ahead. Here's your homework assignment. Try and outgive God. You know, when we give, it should cost us something. Like, I already gave to the church, so give more. If an opportunity arises, well, I got my allotment for Starbucks, and I can't spend my lunch money. Yeah, you can. You could go hungry. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. God promises refreshment to those who choose to refresh others by their generosity. But check your heart. Why are you doing what you do? When someone chooses to open the front door of their home and create a hospitality, or give sacrificially to those who are in need, the same thing's going to happen to them. Please ask me how I know. Psalm 41:1 says, how blessed is the one who treats the poor properly. When trouble comes, the Lord delivers him. Is it the best way to give to someone with a need to just bail them out? Or is it better to invest in them to teach them a way to live? Which is the greater gift? God gives for the best. And sometimes we go through the stuff because God's plan is perfect, reliable, and trustworthy. It says, He has a plan to prosper us, not harm us. But we have to do something. And it doesn't mean going door to door saying, give me $2. And I will tell you, you can have a very lucrative business if you stand outside a restaurant in Reading and say, can I have 25 cents? Because if four people give you a quarter, you got a dollar. And if you stand there all day, you probably make more money than I do in a day. Just saying, you can do it. But God says, when you labor, you'll sleep well. When you beg, not so much. It all comes down to the attitude of the heart. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, 6 through 11 says this. This is the part of the sermon I like because it's not me. We read, remember this. This is Paul speaking what he was carried along by the Holy Spirit to say. Remember this. Remember this. Remember this. Remember this. Remember this. What did he say? Be careful. Take heed. Watch out. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge and the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, this is Paul speaking to the people, pay attention, through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The good things I do for you, you give praise to God. Jesus began or started earlier in his sermon in Matthew 5, 14 through a couple other verses. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they see your good deeds. No, I'm supposed to give anonymously. No, you're supposed to give so that those people give glory to God. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not what we do. It's why we do what we do. People that resemble God and will be pleasing to Him give generously, joyfully, and anonymously. And those who gave for the recognition of men, they got what they desired. Attaboy. They received the glory of men, and that's all they're going to get. Jesus taught those who give from a pure heart with the right motives receive recognition from God. That's my boy. Well done, good and faithful servant. He knows the attitude of our hearts, and He's aware of what we do and why we do it. Give as unto the Lord, and the reward you receive is out of this world. Nobody knows what the reward is, but I will tell you, it is so worth it. Father, thank you for this handbook you have given us, the Bible. God, I pray that you would break down the strongholds and the barriers in life. That we would purpose to spend time with you in the morning, the noon, and the evening. Reading, searching, meditating on your word. For in it we find life and life abundant. God, I thank you that you truly are the giver of good gifts. And I pray for those who are going through it. That they would run into you and be blessed beyond measure. For this, I give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.